Amen. Ushers, come on up to the front, please. Amen. If someone could bring Karen Lee to the front, that'd be nice. Sometimes, girl, you need your own minder, you know? Amen. Ushers, they're up here. Praise God. When I think about all of the what are the, let's just call them sermonettes. Don't go away. I won't be long. Sermonettes about giving, I remember hearing the parable of the soil used so many times. Just give because it's a good ministry, right? Anybody else ever heard that? Do you know that the parable actually never even mentions giving? It mentions receiving. It's about how we receive what God sends to our hearts. Amen? And we get to choose what kind of soil we are. Whether we receive well or we have a hard-hearted heart like Jonah had. But I think you guys have great hearts. And I am so thankful, and we are blessed in North Central Arkansas. You know, people move here because we pray about it. And they move here because it's a good place to live. And it's just wonderful that when we consider the blessings of God, that our hearts just open up to Him, and we want to give to Him, because we don't give to get Him to give. He gave Jesus before anything. He gave the best. Amen? Father, we just thank You for today, and we thank You for the finances that are coming into this church and the finances that are coming into these folks' lives, these families' lives, Lord, and we ask You to increase both of those things, Lord, and for us to be aware of where You want us to sow seed into people's lives. God, we see people, and we want to see Your peace and Your love and Your mercy birth and living in them. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
There are four ways to give. The mobile app, Tithely, if you have access to that, you can download it, and Arise Church will come up, especially if you're sitting in the sanctuary. Cash or check, like the offering was just taken up. PayPal and cash or check. So we are just thankful for all of you guys. Intercessory prayer is here in the sanctuary, 9:30, 9:45, every Sunday morning, and you're welcome to join us. Pastor is starting the Christmas story today, and he always brings out really cool, amazing things and about the Christmas story, and so I'm excited to for that and what he's going to be doing. Ladies, a book study, Bible study is canceled through December. It's busy month, it's a busy time, and so just we'll let you know when we're coming back. Family Christmas potluck will be next Sunday, and so the church is providing ham and tea, and so please, we do have a sign-up here on here for vegetables, side dishes, desserts, and rolls, so please sign up today so I know what we have coming. If you don't know, but you know you're going to do a side dish or a vegetable, at least just put your name there so that we know what we've got. And so I will have those in the hospitality room after service, and you can sign up for that. We also have a sign up for the Christmas kettles. We're ringing the Salvation Army kettle on Friday, December 20th. We used to do 2 days. Pastor only signed up for one. And so we're going to start at 10 a.m. We usually go 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Can everybody say, thank God, we're only doing 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And so we have some days. I'm signed up with Miss Tabby, the little elfie there. She wants to do it, and I told her I'd do it with her. So we have from 10 a.m. all the way to 6 p.m. open. And so this sign-up will also be in the hospitality room after service. For you to sign up for that, please help us out. Otherwise, Pastor will have to stand out there all day by himself. which he has done several times. And so one year it was in the sleet, and I went with him. I said, I'm going to go with you. He'd already been out there since like 8 a.m. He came home to eat something at noon, and I said, I'll go back with you. And it was sleeting, and I was freezing. I didn't have gloves. And this one nice little man, he said, I'm going to go buy you some gloves. He went into Walmart, came out, brought me gloves. It was the sweetest thing. So anyway, generosity. And I got to know him all the way, talked to him 2 days before he passed away. Such a good man. Anyway, that was our introduction. Gloves at ringing the bell. Kids, happy birthday Jesus party will be Sunday, December 22nd here, 10 a.m. They will also have their pajama party December 29th, and they'll be watching Polar Express and doing all the fun stuff that Polar Express, hot chocolate, I believe, and different things like that. I do want to let everyone know that we do have earplugs that will be in. Some of you guys have mentioned to me that even in praise and worship, it's a little loud for you. And so we do have earplugs in the hallway in between the bathrooms. They're not there today because I found them. They got put away somewhere. We've had them for a long time. But anyway, there'll be a basket and they're in the hallway. You can get a pair if you need those. I also need help with rides for people. You know, we have Susan and we have Miss Rosemary that are in the assisted living. They're at the same place. But Miss Rosemary can't get up into a truck. And so we need a ride for her on Sundays. And then, of course, Susan is normally picked up by Stacy. Stacy's kind of like a normal ride for Susan. But today Stacy's sick and we're going to pray for her. So I've put it out on the Facebook group messaging. And I know that Kathy and Bobby are moving from Texas, and they've reached out and said they will help when they get here. But that's going to be January or so. So if you are available to pick up Susan on days that Stacy can't be here, or Miss Rosemary, Susan can get up in a truck, but Miss Rosemary can't. So please let me know. Pastor's gone a couple of times. I think he went today too. And really, he's really trying to keep his mindset and focused for you guys, for what God wants to do in here. And I'm in here from praise and worship to intercessory prayer to church. So I can't go. So it's right there on, what is it, Massey Street? It's right here in Middletown. So if you can help, we would truly, truly appreciate that. Okay. Okay. Okay, very good. Thank you. Cindy came, she went and got Susan, and then she came, and then she heard that, Rosemary, then she heard Susan didn't have a ride. She turned around and went back, but I'd already sent Pastor. So it was a taxi in service this morning. We appreciate these ladies wanting to be here. Miss Rosemary. Right. She can't get into a big truck. And so we're thankful that both of them want to be here. And so what would we do without our dancer? Yeah. And Miss Rosemary, before praise and worship, she was in here and she was dancing with her walker. She was spinning around. It was so sweet. Okay, we have a few prayer requests. We want to pray for Stacy, and we want to pray, if I don't know if you saw it, Rhonda, her little dog was attacked, and Rhonda is another one that needs rides as well. And so, okay. They just took Paula to the ER. I don't know what's going on. She just got back to the nursing home this week. So we need to pray for Paula. Let's see here. Well, let's just stop right now because my mind's just going Paula. So I'm just going to pray right now for Paula. Then I'll take care of these others. Father, I just lift up Paula right now to you. Lord, you know, you see, you know what's going on. We speak your spirit to cover that whole situation. Father, I ask that your spirit give godly wisdom and counsel to doctors and nurses here at the ER, that they will treat by your plan, by your provision. Father, that you're, whatever's going on with her, Lord, that you will touch her. Touch her, Father. Lord, we want Paula here with us. We want Paula here with us. But whatever your plan, your purpose is, we just release it right now. We release the kingdom purpose of Paula Bales' life to be made known in this earth and to be made known in this moment. Lord, we love her so much. And we are just thankful for who she is and who she's been to the kingdom. And so we just speak every good thing that you have for her. Right now, we release it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Rhonda's little dog, she's a little tiny, cute little thing, was attacked by a 70-pound dog yesterday. And so we want to pray for the dog and for Rhonda. Rhonda is another one that needs a ride on a consistent basis as well. Rose Webb turned in. Melissa, her niece, has cancer in the brain. We need to pray for her. And pray for Thomas's girlfriend. She was here last week. Her grandpa is in Stone County Medical for COPD. So, Father, right now over Melissa, Lord, we just curse cancer at its roots. I thank you that Jesus paid the price. His healing virtue of blood and stripes covers healing for all of our illness and disease. And I thank you that you gave us all power and authority. And so we release your healing power, a strike to that brain tumor right now in the name of Jesus, that it would begin to shrivel up and go. Every cell that is present to kill, steal, and destroy, we command it to shrivel up and be gone, to lose her body and go wherever Jesus sends you. We pray this over Melissa. We pray this over Nathan Woods. We pray this over the co-worker of Rihanna's, Father. Right now, we just continue to press in for your goodness, for your wholeness over their lives, over their brains, over every part of their lives. Every cell, every organ, God. Doctors can say one thing, but you have a better report. We believe you. We choose to press in and believe you. When we pray for this man in the hospital with COPD, we speak to his lungs to be open. I command every bit of scar tissue, every bit of blockage of sludge in his lungs to be gone, to be for his lungs, bronchial tubes, every part to be clear at the name of Jesus. That breathing well, oxygen levels return to normal. We thank you. We thank you that you surround them by your spirit, every one of them. You surround them with your angels. Father, we thank you that doctors have your wisdom and your counsel in how to treat and how to go forward in all of these cases. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 1. And I need two ladies to come up front, please. I need some things passed out, and I would prefer ladies to do them. Two ladies. Amen. One more. I got one coming. What are you brave ladies? Come here, Tabitha. Out the rest when we see how many we got left over. Oh, let me hold yours, Karen. Do any of you people, when you open your Bible up to Luke, do you hear Darth Vader's voice? Luke, I am your father. I do. I don't know. Anyway, I tell my kids when I'm older, because I'm already older, but when I'm older, I'll probably just have taglines bouncing around in my head. Amen. Becky, did you get one? Okay, good. All right. I saw this. This is a reproduction of a painting. I didn't paint it, of course. I could paint a yellow. I could have done that. But it's a wonderful picture of Eve and her hand on Mary's womb, the outside of her womb where Jesus is in there. The snake is wrapped around Eve's feet, and Mary's foot is on the head of the snake. Eve is carrying the memory of her failure. You know, it's funny. God told the snake, you're going to crawl. The serpent, you're going to crawl on the ground. He told Adam that you're going to work so hard, you're going to sweat. He told Eve that the English gloss is usually you're going to have pain in childbearing, but it's probably more and deeper than that. It's probably something more prophetic about the life that she was going to live. And then God exiled him out of the garden and put an angel there. If God moving you out of a place wasn't enough, he put an angel there with a flaming sword. Sometimes God just has a flair for the theatric. And they left. But God blessed Adam and Eve. And she conceived and had a son. And then he blessed her again, and she conceived, and she had another son. And God had told Eve, in the middle of their failure, in the middle of the garden, he told her these words that are written on the back of this card. God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, snake, and between you and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And that promise began in the Christmas story. And when I see Eve standing here like this in this painting, my heart just goes out to her because she lost both her sons in the same day. The one thing that she could do that God had given them to do, he had told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and not to touch this tree, remember? Well, they blew one, but they could still be fruitful and multiply. And in one day, her double blessing was gone. The enemy is so much like that. He loves to steal and to kill and destroy and to take the very thing. Because Eve is looking at her boys and she's thinking, is this the seed? Is this the seed that's going to bring it? Genesis tells us that she had, I don't know, dozens of children through their long life. And not one of her children ever stepped on the serpent's head. You go all down through the Bible. Through the story, the wonderful story in the Bible, and there's glimpses of the Christmas story in there. But today we're coming down to kind of, I don't know, it's an odd place to start a Christmas story, but it's where Luke started it, so that's where we're gonna go. But there's a theme that runs through it because and the two characters in there, they had been married when they were young, and they were in their 60s now. And they had no children. She was barren. But being of the lineage of Aaron, both of them, they were doubly blessed. You know, they knew the Psalms. And Psalm 40 says this, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me from the pit of destruction out of the miry bog and set my feet upon a rock and making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. When I see Eve's hand laying on Mary's belly, I hear those words. I waited patiently. All of us are waiting patiently for promises that God has given us through the years. We've got one woman that has carried a promise for thousands of years. And another woman that is carrying a promise inside of her. The Christmas story, it renews hope. It brings us new hope because we read this story and it's easy to get so familiar with it that you can hear Linus tell it from the Peanuts comic. Right? He does a pretty good job. Isaiah wrote these words. He said, "Comfort, comfort my people, says God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." In Luke 1, where I sent you, starting in verse 5. And I know I'm reading a lot of scripture today, but I'm actually reading less than I was going to read. So there's that. It's good to hear the scripture out loud. And you may not like my voice reading it, but I like my voice. I'm my favorite reader. I was just wanting to know. There is the guy that has a, I have a digital Bible. He sounds like the Grinch. I do love to listen to the Grinch read the Bible. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. By the way, Elizabeth was the name of Aaron's wife also. And they were both righteous before God, walking blameless in all the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. For they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. Both were advanced in years, and while he was serving as priest before God, when the division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, Zechariah was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled. I love this. When he saw the angel, and fear fell upon him, but the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And when you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And then he'll turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, and he will go before them in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Zechariah said, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you good news. Behold, you'll be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at the delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs and remained mute. And when his time of service had ended, he went to his home. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden. Of course she did. Saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. And this couple, you just got to love Zechariah and Elizabeth. You know, I don't blame Zechariah for looking at Gabriel and I'm sure those are the exact words that he said. You know, he could have been prophetic in that moment and said, Gabriel, if you were going to make someone be quiet, use that on Peter, because he's coming. And he's going to talk a lot. But Zechariah, how's this going to happen? I understand Zechariah. I'm the age that Zechariah was. My wife is much younger than me, but neither one of us want a baby. If Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, stood before Tommy and Karen and said, you're going to have a baby, I would say, have you lost your mind? Are you? Yeah, I mean, come on, you want to read this and go, I mean, she's been through menopause. She's given up thinking she's ever going to have a child. You know, they got married when they were teenagers. You know that because they were both of the lineage of Aaron, which is more than being a Levite. You're of the lineage of the first high priest, the first priest before God. They both were. They were doubly blessed. You know, they had high hopes they were going to have 14 kids, right? Fruitful and multiply. We're not told of the sadness. Just the depressing thought of the word. You know, just not having what your heart desires. All of us in this room, there have been things that we've been promised, that we've been believing for from God. And when I read this story, and I remember that God remembered Zechariah and Elizabeth and gave them John the Baptist, who dressed in camel hair and ate crickets. You know what it said? Or was it locust? It was something. It was a bug. If your kid was eating a bug, you go, how's your son John doing? Oh, he's out on the by the, you know, Jordan River eating bugs. But he prepared the way of Jesus. You know what strikes me about this story? Because we know about Mary, and Mary's related to Elizabeth, right? How did one family get all this stuff to happen in their one family? Right? I mean, even Moses, that, you know, it was Moses and Aaron, and there was almost Miriam, but not quite. You know, all of this is happening. Can you imagine that 9 months? The waiting. I'm sorry, I'm fighting thoughts of bringing this more into humanity, but I'm not going there. I'm just telling you. But can you imagine when she found out that she was carrying a child? Because you know, when Zechariah got home, he couldn't speak, but he could write. He's probably writing on everything. We're gonna have a child. I talked to the angel. that was stands in the presence of God. He probably said those words a gazillion times to that woman. Huh? Again and again. You know, God wants to visit you. He visited us this morning. Karen's up here. She's exhorting. It was beautiful. The music, the worship was just amazing. I'm standing there praying in the spirit, asking God what am I going to say when I get up there and pick up the microphone. You know what the first thing popped in my head? Sup, Jesus. You guys probably never even picked up a cup of coffee and said, sup, Jesus. Right? I mean, I could be real punny and say he supped with his disciples, but he visits us. He visits us. Elizabeth and Zechariah, the Bible says that they were righteous, that they were right-standing people, that they followed the Torah, that they were good Second Temple people following Jehovah. Why isn't that God? He chooses someone. He didn't choose a young couple that had just gotten married and she's fertile myrtle, right? He chooses this woman that's been believing for a child her entire life. It's no wonder she stayed to herself. Have you ever been so blessed by God that you can't explain it and it's embarrassing to go into public and at the talk about what God's done and people look at you like you're out of your mind? If Elizabeth was alive today, they would be doing scans and CT. They'd be trying to figure out why there's a tumor growing in her, right? Not a tumor. It's a promise of God. It's something that came sent right out of heaven. I mean, you just... I mean, I know you've looked at your watch before, waiting on God to move. But if any of us waited 60 years for something... You know, it's a miracle that Zechariah was in there. Do you know, he was a Levite, and all priests are Levites, but not all Levites are priests, right? Because there were other criteria. There were 24 different teams of priests who would serve throughout the year, and you got to serve twice. And having the lot cast, they would cast the lot every day, four times, and people would be chosen for different things. For him to be chosen to light the incense was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Because once you did it, they wouldn't put your name in there anymore. You were just out once. And Gabriel knew when it was going to be. God knows when you're going to be in place, so that he can encourage you about the promise that he's given you. He's waiting. He's prepared. I don't know about you, but I get excited. That gives me hope. That gives me hope when I'm believing for something from God. Because when I read the Christmas story, I read all of these things that have happened in the thousands of years of history of the Hebrew people. All the way back to Eve. You know when Mary got to heaven, there were a whole lot of women excited. They had been watching this unfold throughout the ages. The women of Rebecca, the women, Hannah, who gave birth to Samuel, the, the woman who gave birth to Samson. All of these come into this tradition of that God answers this. And then in this beginning of time, for the promise of God being fulfilled so that Jesus would be born in a manger, and the King of Kings would sneak in under the radar. You guys all right out there? Two things. Just two things. The Christmas story transforms the barren to fruitful. And barren just doesn't mean you don't have any children. Because she and I don't want any more children. We would like to have more grandchildren. Amen. But there's promises that God has made to each of us. And we've been waiting, and we say, when, God, when? Julie. Julie Snow. Some of you have never met her, but you'll meet her in heaven. Trust me. She and a little short woman named Bertha will be sliding in socks on a golden street. I'm sure of it. And Evelyn will be there. Anyway, she used to ask me, she would come up, and she would be about to bust open. You can just see it. Her whole demeanor looks like a balloon that's had too much helium in it, you know? And all of a sudden she'd just go, when, when, when? And I'd go, I don't know, but I'm waiting for when too. But you know, we believe and we trust. And God keeps giving us, it's okay, I've got this. Isaiah 43 says this, behold, I'm doing a new thing. It's funny when you read that in the Old Testament, right? Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I'll make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert from the barren wilderness. John was born. This is not the scripture. This is just me. From the barren wilderness, John declared, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the desert, a highway for our God. His whole purpose was to make a way for Jesus to be understood, was to introduce people to Jesus in the power of Elijah. Jesus said, he told his disciples, he said, for those of you that will accept it, John was Elijah. He was the coming Elijah. That God transforms. The Christmas story reminds us that God is in the transformation business. That whatever episode we're in, whatever place in life that we're at, whatever Tuesday afternoon that we're stuck in, God still comes in and he transforms. He turns ashes into beauty. The second thing is the Christmas story reminds us that fruitfulness follows faithfulness. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous before God, walking blamelessly before God. We have it so much easier. We don't have 600 and some odd laws to follow. We can drive anywhere we want on a Sabbath. We can turn our lights on and our lights off. Right? John said this. Of course it was John. If you abide in me, Jesus is speaking the night before he was crucified. If you live in me, and my words live in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Never get into condemnation. Because, you know, Jesus said, I'm the source of life, and you're plugged into him. In fact, when you see yourself, you need to remember these three things. Here's three things for you. You need to see yourself crucified with Christ. You need to see yourself raised together with him by the glory of God. And then you need to see yourself seated with him at the right hand of the Father in heaven. I've been crucified with Christ. I've been resurrected with Christ. I've been seated in Christ. Fruitfulness will come. The faithfulness is in Jesus. He's always faithful. You are in Christ. At the end of the pregnancy term, she delivered John. Elizabeth did. And they were going to name him something else. And for the life of me, I can't remember what they were going to name him. But all of a sudden, Zechariah spoke. After he had written on a piece of, not paper, he wrote on an iPad. And it said, it said his name is John. Because that's what Gabriel had said. And he began to speak, and he prophesied over his son. And it says, and then you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine on those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. That's what Jesus is doing for us. So when you feel like your answer is not coming, you're in good company. And my encouragement to you is that you hang in there and you continue to believe and let the light of Christ shine in your life and follow the way of peace. I love that. The way of peace. I probably had read this scripture, but I couldn't have found it if I had to. When Karen and I moved to England, I had to learn how to drive on the wrong side of the road, from the wrong side of the car. And it was a stick shift. It was a three-cylinder diesel engine. And the first day that I drove her, she was scared to death, which normally I would say just doesn't really matter because she's usually scared when I'm driving today on the right side of the road from the right side of the car. But she was really upset, and I prayed. I had to pray because I wanted to just move our tickets up and fly back to the States. And I just prayed, and I said, God, I pray over us that we go the way of peace, that you'll guide us the way of peace. And I didn't scare her again, even when I went around the roundabouts too many times. But the way of peace, pray that over your life. I'm following the way of peace. When the enemy comes in and tries to squash out your dream and try to squash out what's alive in you and what you believe and what you desire and where you're at, just I follow the way of peace. I follow the way of peace. Amen? Let's stand up. Hallelujah. One more scripture, okay? This is short. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Father, we pray that over us in this Christmas season. As we celebrate this Christmas story and the things that you did 2,000 years ago, Lord, the fun things you've been doing since you spoke, let there be light. Father, we pray over our lives that you awaken the hope that's inside of us, that we put our trust in you and follow you, God, in the way of peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. I love you guys. Be blessed.